This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Dr. Waleed Faris. He's a terrorism expert, a Middle East scholar. He's an advisor to the U.S. House of Representatives Anti-Terrorism Caucus. He is a professor of global strategies at National Defense University. And he's the author of The Confrontation, Winning the War Against Future Jihad. And the jihad, it seems as though, that we witnessed here on Wednesday was once again in Mumbai, India, which has now been, by my count, Dr. Faris, at least the third major strike against that city in recent years, perhaps even more than that. We did not have an official group taking credit or responsibility for the attack, but most folks believe it's this Lashkar-e-Taiba group that carried out the horrific hotel massacre a number of years ago. What can we glean from what we know so far about these attacks that have killed, I believe now, at least 21 people?
Well, Mumbai at this point in time, unfortunately, is comparable in terms of targeting by the jihadists to New York in the West. Mumbai is the financial center of India. It has been targeted at least three times by major attempts that left dozens of people killed. Mumbai has been also on the target terror, not just of the Lashkar-e-Taiba, which has committed the previous Mumbai attacks, but also Lashkar-e-Taiba and possibly Indian jihadists, the jihadists who operate in those areas of India, have been in touch before and are in touch not just with the Pakistani-based Lashkar-e-Taiba, but with Al-Qaeda, internationally speaking. The most important fact here is that we see a recurrence, meaning that there is training, there is a decision being made by those who have targeted before to continue and target Mumbai as a plan, as a part of a much wider campaign against Indian democracy.
Yes, sir, you mentioned something that I don't think a lot of people have been aware of, and that's radical elements within India. Of course, they do have a decent-sized Muslim population. What can you tell us about the growth of radicalism within its own borders, much less what, of course, is happening next door in its rival Pakistan?
Actually, and ideologically, even the Taliban and most of the jihadis of South Asia, sub-Indian continent, ideologically, they began under British India. So including, for example, the influence that came from the Deoband University. The Deobandis are the equivalent of the Wahhabis in Arabia, or of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. So India as a country, yes, it has a sizable Muslim population, but the issue is basically within that population. Are there jihadists? Are there Islamists? Of course they are, and they do have websites, and they do connect with their comrades in the fight, not just only in Pakistan, but also in Bangladesh, in Malaysia, in Indonesia. We're talking about a South Asian jihadi web that stretches from Tora Bora, if you want, all the way to the southern Philippines. India is one of their targets.
What's the connection, if there is a connection, between Lashkar-e-Taiba and Al-Qaeda?
Well, Lashkar-e-Taiba had made statements in the past of allegiance and affiliation with Al-Qaeda Central. It doesn't mean that they are the same organization. But put it that way, this is a sort of a confederation, meaning each one of these organizations, Lashkar-e-Taiba or the Taliban or Shabab-e-Jihad in Somalia or, their brothers in Jihad in Algeria and elsewhere, they have their own organization, own fundraising or operational structures. But on the top, they are all connected to Al-Qaeda. In the same way, during the Cold War, if we may make the comparison, communist parties who were pro-Soviet were all connected to the international communist leadership, which was out of Moscow.
What could the Indian government be doing differently? What perhaps has the United States done effectively over the past 10 years, ever since 9/11, to ward off attacks that India might be wise to learn from?
Look, all democracies, to begin with those, Western democracies and non-Western democracies, including India, of course, Japan, Australia, and although Australia is part of the West, but these democracies have, first of all, to take the jihadi threat seriously as an ideological threat. If they continue to face it as a police threat, as a criminal threat, then they could be successful tactically. Their law enforcement could be successful tactically, but they cannot eradicate its roots. Number two, these democracies should face it in a unified fashion. Let's keep in mind that Al-Qaeda and the jihadists are international. The countermeasures to Al-Qaeda should be international, meaning we have five members, permanent members of the Security Council, who have been targeted by Al-Qaeda, the United States and Britain and France, the West, and even Russia, Chechnya, of course, and even China, let alone India and other countries. They need to go to an international level and isolate the jihadists ideologically, politically, and then, of course, on the security level.
As we mentioned before, and as you specifically mentioned, this is a more of a confederation when you think of Lashkar-e-Taiba and Al-Qaeda and its elements and some of these other radical organizations. But when you see an event like this in the wake, really just in the past couple of weeks, of American officials saying since the death of bin Laden and other disarray inside Al-Qaeda, that that organization is merely a shell of what it was, and victory could actually be achieved in relatively short order. Does this throw cold water on that? Is it reading too much into one event to suggest that that is not the case? How would you read that?
This is what I would define as a hyper-rushing to conclusion, in the sense that when senior officials would rush to those conclusions, probably because of political reasons or political goals, they will actually damage the both national and international accurate analysis of Al-Qaeda and when Al-Qaeda is being defeated. Depleting a number of, targeting a number of officials of Al-Qaeda is not defeating Al-Qaeda. Defeating Al-Qaeda means if you are destroying the factory, the ideological factory. How many madrasas have been shut down would be the measurement for defeating Al-Qaeda, not how many, you know, including bin Laden, who's a very important symbol. But we're not dealing with an organization that is created by a symbol. The ideology created both the symbol and the organization. So there needs to be a different view as to how to measure the defeat of Al-Qaeda.
Very interesting. Dr. Faris, as always, a great pleasure to have you with us. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Waleed Faris, terrorism expert, Middle East scholar, advisor to the U.S. House of Representatives Anti-Terrorism Caucus. He teaches global strategies at National Defense University and is the author of several books, including The Confrontation, Winning the War Against Future Jihad. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.